Genesis chapter 1 tonight. The Bible says in the beginning, in verse 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That pretty much settles it right there, doesn't it? We can make this real short tonight and we could just stop right there. It's done. That's it. What else do we need to say? Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Again, I can't wait to just ask the Lord, what does that mean? What happened there? What waters? Like, you know? And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight, and thank You for all the subsequent points of creation following this. But God, we believe what this book says, and we believe that You created everything. God, I pray that You'd strengthen our faith through this a message here tonight. Encourage us. I pray that, again, You would have Your hand about the service, that when we walk away, we see the value and the impact and the importance of getting a hold of these things. And Lord, help us to be a witness. Help us to be a light in these areas. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 12, it says this, He hath made the earth by His power. He hath established the world by His wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens, look at this now, by His discretion. Discretion is a word that we use to evaluate. I'm going to use discretion in this matter. I'm going to limit maybe some of my areas of conversation, the words I say. God, in His explanation of creation, says He stretched out the heavens by His discretion, meaning about that big. And then He just made everything in between work. Isn't that awesome? I like verses like that. I like to be reminded of how great a God we serve, and how big He is, and how powerful He is, and how much He's done. Because that helps me in my day-to-day faith. If He can measure out or stretch out the heavens by His discretion, surely He can handle my enormity of problems in my life, right? If this is what He's capable of, surely our life is within His area of expertise. There's a great debate. How did we get here? It's all, I would say, you almost have to say it's one of the most important questions that you'll ask yourself. How did I get here? Maybe the second is, what will I do with Jesus? Maybe the third is, why am I here? But how did I get here? There's a lot of answers. This is a great debate. The origin of the world has caused great debate for centuries. Evolutionists believe that stars and planets came into the existence through a natural process, and that animals and humans gradually came into existence, listen now, by accident, and hath stretched out the heavens by His discretion. Creationists believe God created the world as recorded in the Bible. And as Bible believers, we do not question the creation account. When I read in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I believe that. I recognize it takes faith to believe that. But I believe that. We believe God created the world, and honestly can't help but disagree with those that believe otherwise. Hey, listen, maybe, Katie, do you have a favorite ice cream?
The Nutty Bars.
Nutty Bars are great.
Drumsticks.
Drumsticks.
That's right.
Those are good.
They're
not my favorite, though, but I understand where you're coming from, even though we... See, for someone to say, this all just happened by accident, there's no common ground anywhere I can stand with. There's no part of that I believe. By the end, we'll see the significance of it. But please understand that eventually you're going to have to make a decision. How did you get here? We must remember that belief does not equal proof. Do you understand that? Just because I believe something doesn't mean it's so, right? Just because a scientist believes that's how we got here by an explosion, and we'll talk about that in a moment, doesn't mean that equals proof. I want proof. Let us examine the scientific proof of creation versus evolution. Psalm chapter 33. We're going to actually look at two verses here. Psalm 33. I do not believe the message will go very long tonight. Psalm 33. Was there a big bang? Possibly. Say what? Psalm 33:6, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Maybe he spoke it loudly. We have an Alexa at the house, or an Echo Dot, or whatever it is that you, whatever you call yours, or if you don't have one, whatever. If you don't have one, maybe you call it Big Brother, whatever it is. But if you go to it and you say, Alexa, and you whisper to it, it whispers back. Do you understand that? Maybe the Lord spoke quietly. You go over here. But when I see the Lord speak, it always looks like thunderings and trumpets. So maybe there was a big bang by his own word. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah 45 and verse 18 says, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. Please understand, it was not by accident. If you believe as a Christian that this all happened, but you would have to deny the word of God. You cannot believe both. Well, theistic evolution, I believe that God used evolution to create. Not if you believe what this says. Thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is none else. Why did he make all this? Listen to this. This is amazing to me. He made it for you and I. He didn't make it for him. He made it for you and I. He made this whole world for us, that he would one day create man to worship him. Was there a big bang? Well, one popular evolutionary theory in our world says that it all began billions of years ago by a big bang. There was no people. There was no planets, there was no stars, there was no solar system. All energy and matter were compressed into something called a cosmic egg. And this theory says that that egg exploded with a big bang, forming hydrogen gas. I feel like that explanation is, I'm not trying to make fun of anybody or anything, but as if you went into the kindergarten class and said, how'd this all start? Yeah. All right, here's what happened. And I can, like a little five-year-old is saying, there was all this stuff in this little, and then boom, everywhere, and then, you know. That's what they're saying, though. This theory says that the egg exploded with a big bang, forming hydrogen gas. There is no answer what caused the explosion or what created the energy and matter that was compressed. I was reading, I was doing some study about this, and you know, there's some people that don't believe the earth is young. 10,000 or so years, don't believe that. And they make fun of it and they mock it. In his statement of why Ken Ham and all of these other people are fools, I try and read the other side just to understand where they're coming from. The scientist, this evolutionary scientist, said, after tearing apart why creation can't possibly be, he said this, "I will admit, we do not have a single solid answer as to how life began." That's significant to me. Because I do have a single solid answer as to how life began. In science, there is a law. It's called cause and effect. That there is an effect, as I think we threw this or dropped it one time, showing that law. Something has to act upon this for it to move. Something would have had to have acted upon the cosmic egg for that to happen. The very laws of science are broken down by this very theory. See, though, but in creation, God never violates the scientific laws. He was the cause. By Him, things were spoken that created. The Big Bang Theory is inconsistent with the law of cause and effect. Creationists are consistent, claiming God was the cause in the creation of the world. Was there a Big Bang? No, there wasn't. I'll tell you why. Go to John chapter 1. I'll tell you why. Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 3, all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. I just got to John. I'm sorry. I don't know. Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. We started by the thought that there is a great debate. Asking the question, was there a big bang? Ephesians chapter 3. In verse 9, it says, "And to make all men see what is in the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." There was no big bang. No, He used discretion. He used order. Disorder does not create order. Right now, we're praying for Israel. We should be always praying for Israel, but events like that are going on right now remind us even more so to... Could you imagine just a number of miles away your arch enemy lives and they want to remove you off the map? That's how Israel is. And there's a group of people in Gaza that are sending rockets over, and not many get through, which is fantastic. Anybody see any of those videos? The barrage of rockets coming over, and that, what is that, like Iron Dome or whatever it is, and boom. Amazing. Israel then retaliates. Rockets hit the ground. How does it look after a rocket hits the ground? Explosion. Rocket doesn't hit the ground and all of a sudden, whoo, a park. Right? High-rise building out of nowhere. A mall with people shopping. No, there's a giant hole. There's a giant crater. Disorder does not create order. Disorder like explosions never create order. The idea that this world is a product of an explosion is ridiculous. For things to blow up and then create this, a perfectly working ecosystem, balanced, sufficient, and able to sustain itself, creating life, That doesn't happen. 1 Corinthians, though, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. How does something like that happen? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. God doesn't create confusion. He's actually, the Bible tells us, He's the God of order. Disorder does not create order. According to the second law of thermodynamics, order is never the product of disorder. Things continually get more messy, not orderly. Creationism claims that God created an orderly world. While belief in God goes beyond the realm of science, the concept of Him creating an orderly world is consistent with scientific laws. Genesis chapter 1. How many of you went to a secular college? Anybody go to a secular college? Good? Okay. Who recently, Nate, when did you graduate? 5 years ago? That's about as recent. Anybody graduate from secular college less than 5 years ago? Johnny's not here tonight. I'm going to ask you, I just want to, Karen, did you graduate less than 5 years ago? Doing the math. Okay, about the same time. I'm going to ask you a question, I just want you to answer honestly. When in your science teaching, do they present evolution as a theory or as a fact?
Fact.
The ways of the world and the ways of God are different. And the scripture looks to promote and to exalt God to the highest. And if I can remove the authority of God in my life, I don't have to answer to anybody. And that's what science tries to do. But they don't present it as a theory. Presented as a fact. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. That's not to abuse the earth, but we do have dominion. We do have authority over the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. And I love these next three words. Male and female. Well, I don't feel like... The Bible says there's two options. Well, I don't identify... It doesn't say what you thought about it or what... Male and female created He them. Go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Do non-living things produce living things? Okay, let's ask that question again. Do non-living things... This plastic bottle is non-living. Does it produce living things? No.
Never.
It has never. Evolution teaches that life came from non-living matter. A creationist claims life came from a living God. We just read the verses. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. And his life became our life. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Our planet is inhabited by millions of living creatures. There is no evidence that spontaneous life has ever occurred. No scientist has ever been able to produce life from non-life. But if they could, listen, think about this. If they could take non-life and somehow make life, it would just prove that you needed a creator to make it happen. Non-living things are not produced from non-living things do not produce living things. Go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 24. Genesis 1:24. God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature." This is important. "After his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And it has been so ever since. "And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." Cows do not birth horses. The Bible and, listen now, simple observation shows that things produce after their own kind. There are currently 7.8 billion people on this earth. Not one doctor has ever been in the birthing room and out came a rabbit. 7.8 billion people right now. The Martinez dog just had little dogs. That's what dogs do. They make more dogs. If Bob Barker had his... Never mind. This was planned. They wanted this. There was 11 little puppies. Cute. Little. Never has a dog given birth to a cat. That's silly, isn't it? We hear those things and go, who would believe otherwise? Well, for evolution to be true, somewhere in there, there was a mutation. There was a change. Crossbreeding here, only with certain limitations. The Bible states it. We know that, right? We take two kinds of dogs and put them together, and now we have a new breed of dog, right? But we never get a cat, never get a horse, never get a bird. Reptiles producing birds or apes evolving into humans. The main problem is that one would have to die off for the next one to succeed has never happened either. And where is the thing that's in between? Why is there no half lizard bird? Or why is there no ape human? If it went from apes to humans, where's the thing in between? Created after their own kind. If you just looked at it objectively and just asked logical questions, I do believe the science in all of it greatly proves that God created the heaven and the earth. He made man and he made animals just how they were. And he brings them all by Adam and he says, you can name all these things. Here's the breakdown of all this. I want you to go to Romans chapter 1. This will be our last verse tonight. Say, this is wonderful. This is amazing. All right. There's a lot of things you can find on the internet about this or against this, and I just ask you to study the scriptures. I was talking to Pastor Seatman a little while ago, in my office, and, I was looking up some stuff, and, they used to say that if the world was as old as it says it is, that when they landed on the moon, they were expecting, listen now, this is what some people said, about 35 feet of moon dust, if the universe was as old as it says. They found about 3 inches. They since have changed their estimated rate of moonfall dust. Every 1,000 years or so, it produces about 0.4 inches. That is the measure by which we... And you can look at all that stuff, and you can look at charts and things, but... And I think there's some benefit to that. Before we look at this last verse, I just want to encourage you, we certainly can take these topics and run with them and almost even get consumed with them. That where we would, we have to be careful that we not explain scientific code more than telling others about Jesus. Because there is a faith still that is required or necessary to understand the scriptures and to know the scriptures. Now, certainly, if we can start at the beginning and you can systematically take someone through starting in Genesis, you can lead them right up to Jesus. And there's a great strength in that. But be not consumed with the scientific and neglect the gospel, right? Romans chapter 1, look at verse 20. Why are all these things important? Why are you taking time to talk about these things the last few weeks? What's the big deal? Verse 19 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Listen now, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even, look at his eternal power and Godhead. Here's the hardest part about believing this, so that they are without excuse. If you're going to believe Genesis chapter 1, you're going to have to believe that there's a God. And if there's a God, I answer to that God, and I'm a sinner according to that God, and I need to be saved. And I am without excuse. But if science can undo this book and say, you don't need this, and I can do whatever I want. That's why the creation account is important. That's why understanding how we got here and that God created us and in 6 literal days did he create the world and on the 7th day he rested is important to us. Because it reminds us and it shows us of God's eternal power and Godhead, and it makes us without excuse. So as you're here tonight, I think you do need to give some thought to it. And I think you do need to give some consideration to it. And it wouldn't be bad to just read through Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3 every so often and remind yourself of how God did create things. And that we're part of his creation and we're here for a purpose and for a reason. See, if I understand and recognize that God created the world and that he put me here, it's not by chance, but by purpose. If I'm here for a purpose, I should figure out what that is and fulfill my purpose. It all comes down to an authority issue. Ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do. Well, one day you're gonna have to answer to a holy, righteous God. It's a lot easier if you do it here. There's a lot more joy, there'll be peace. You'll actually understand your purpose and your reason. There's a lot of miserable people out there trying to find their way and have no clue because they've denied this book. I encourage you here tonight. Things like this strengthen my faith. It reminds me of, yes, that is what I believe, and that is foolishness out there. It's sad that there are institutions that are actively leading people away from God. Years and years and years and years ago, right in the city of Rochester, there was a college that would train missionaries. If you walk through the halls and you read their inscriptions upon the walls over by Highland Park, Colgate Divinity School, at one point was quite the place. Over the number of years, it has transpired into something that I don't know if God is too pleased with. They've sold it now, and they're going to put condos in over there. Housing. You know, you neglect the creation account. You start giving answers of why this Bible is not right, and it won't be long until that institution falls by the wayside. It's dangerous out there to be indoctrinated and programmed to think that the Scriptures are not true and right. You ask some of our young people that have gone through secular college, that's tough going through 4 or 5 years of just every class hearing that God is a fool and there's no such thing and everything you've been raised on is wrong. That's hard to go through. Oh, it's okay to be spiritual, but just not godly. That's a danger. And you put yourself under that teaching for a long period of time, and they're just going to try and undo what God said is so. Be careful with that. Hey, listen, we're without excuse. We know. We look out there and go, wow, there really is a God. And I read these things and I'm encouraged of, man, it's good to know for sure what is right and what is true. Praise the Lord for that. All right, let's all stand.